I need to work on jokes. Man, I need to get some jokes down. Gary's showing me up. Stop it, Mr. Gary. Gosh. Matthew chapter 24. Hallelujah. We've been talking about being delivered from the curse. We're going to talk about kind of some end times and definitely walking in love and kind of what we're seeing now in the news. Nothing is new under the sun, right? We got all these people, they think they're really super smart and everything too. Well, I've got a new lifestyle and I've got this. Sorry, honey. It's been in the Bible for thousands of years. The Bible talks about there's nothing new under the sun, right? It's all been the same. we're all humans. We're all men, women that are in a fallen state. It's been around, right? There's nothing new. Yeah, again, how many, you ever been on Google before or something, or, you know, DuckDuckGo or something, or some search engine, and you're like, I have this great idea, and then you're thinking, oh, well, somebody's already, you know, thought of it, or you have some question, you know, on there. But I don't even know that history repeats itself, and the biggest mistake to repeat history is not to know history, right? I never understood the importance of understanding history in high school. To me, history was like the mess around class. You ever notice it too? Well, all the young people here, we have these big round things, and they're called film in there, and they would rotate like this, and the film would go, we have two big round things, and that was called a projector system. You might have seen them in museums before. Right? Man, when one of those rolled into history class, it was like, thank you, Lord. That was just happy day, right? Or these things called VHS. You know, they're like this big, and they had tape in it, and they kind of, you know, like this, and you put it in there, and there was a thing called TV, and they were like this thick, you know, on a big stand, and the teacher would roll it in. I mean, that was just a great day. So I thought history was just a checkout session and everything else, too. I wish we would have paid a little more attention, but they didn't really teach anything back then, so I need another graded teacher. So you know what? They're all, I'm sure, with Jesus now. So they were retired like, you know, decades ago. But it's very important in the Bible to understand history, isn't it? To understand things that have happened so that we can understand future. Well, everything often is, one thing we used to talk about in Bible college is the Old Testament is the New Testament. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed, and the Old Testament is a precursor to the New Testament. And even though we see so many things that Jesus talks about, you know, if Jesus says something, we probably should pay attention, right? Remember, there's this old commercial. It said, when Edith Hutton talks, people listen. Okay, I'm really dating myself, right? But there's this old thing, and it meant, you know, this investor back in the 80s or something, and in the commercial, everybody would stop. They'd be walking down the street, and they'd be doing this trick. We need to do that when Jesus talks, right, in the Bible. He says, hey, I'm referring back to this point in the Old Testament. You need to pay attention to this, and then this is going to be a repeat of what happened back then. And so we look at Matthew chapter 24. If you've been around here at all, you've known I have gone to this before. But there are some very interesting things tonight that we need to look at because I'm seeing more and more patterns ramped up in the news, in these things that we're seeing. We're becoming more and more and more and more, becoming more biblically, how can I say, prophetic. And we're seeing things that are manifesting in the news that we're seeing in the Word of God. Matthew chapter 24, and again, the verse is, the disciples came to Jesus and says, hey, what's it going to be like in the end times? Tell us what's going to happen. And Jesus says, okay. He said, first of all, what does he say? Don't be deceived. There it is, Jesus. When you ask him a question and the disciples ask him a question, he doesn't answer really what they want to hear. right? You ever had that growing up too? Your parents, or that you go to your parents or something, or people, and say, you know, how do I make money to buy a car? Do you really want to know that answer, right? Hey, I need some more money for the weekend for gas money or something. What can I do around here? I got just a job for you. And Jesus often never answers. You ever, when you're spending time with God or something, you're asking him questions and things like that, he'll ask a question to your question. And we see Jesus asks questions a lot, especially the Pharisees, right? He comes to them, they'll ask him a question. He'll come back to them with a question. And it's like, that's not what we wanted. We wanted to catch you into something. Matthew chapter 24, in Jesus verse 4 says, take heed that no man deceives you. Verse 5, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. How are we not deceived? We are deceived by studying the Word, understanding Him and His Word. Verse 6 says, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. I think we're there, right? See that you don't be troubled by it. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Verse 7, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. And these are the beginning of sorrows. Verse 9, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. We're seeing mass persecution like never before, especially on Christians. And everybody talks about the Jews. Oh, the Jews are this. And yes, they are persecuted, right? But nobody talks about the persecution of the Christians. it's funny how we're tolerant in this nation of other religions, but other nations aren't tolerant of our religion. So we're seeing persecution like never before in verse 10. And then shall many be offended, here we go, and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. I think this is becoming, this scripture right here, we're going to narrow on some things tonight. But how many people in the news, on social media, are offended right now? I mean, it is absolutely ridiculous how much strife and division there is, and how things are getting out of control. There is so much strife. Romans 5:5. Keep your finger here, okay? I'm gonna quote. Well, we'll read it. Romans 5:5. Romans 5:5, and I'll turn there really quick. And hope makes us not ashamed, because, here we go, the love of God is what? Shed abroad in our hearts by who? The Holy Ghost, which is given to us. So God's love is actually shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, right? Do you know that love is a supernatural dynamic that comes from God? And it's not a feeling. It's a decision. And it's a supernatural act. Galatians 5:22. I'm reading these scriptures here, and then we're going to come back to Matthew 24. Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. There we go. So what's that mean? The byproduct of the Holy Spirit, one of the fruits of the Spirit, is love. That means when you get saved, when you ask Jesus in your heart, you are 1 Corinthians 5:17. We're a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. We're a new creature. That act of God's, we are recreated spirit, we now have the fruits of the Spirit in us. You may not feel like it sometimes, and you still have old thinking, but on the inside, our DNA now is like God. And it's going to be your choice to walk in those things. So again, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and against such as no. There is so much of that going on right now in the news, right? No. And you ever see how the news, they never want to report anything really happy, like, hey, everybody's getting along. Everything's great. We're going to have a happy day news. No, everything's fed off of division and strife and what's going on and the big wow factor and how many people died today and this and that, right? It's because our flesh likes that. The flesh, what I mean, is the natural man. All right, let's go back to Matthew chapter 24. In verse 12 again, and because iniquity shall abound, here we go, the love of many shall wax cold. I'm going to say this too, I've said it again, when sin or disobedience or rebellion increases, love decreases. It's kind of like one of those scales, you know? If love increases, then sin or disobedience is going to decrease, but if, you know, hostility, the flesh, everything else, you can't do both, right? I mean, you look at the devil as a liar. He hates, he steals, he destroys. You see God over here is love. He creates, he builds up, he encourages, he nurtures, he does these things. You're either one or the other. Here we go, but verse 13, but he that endures until the end, the same shall be saved. Here we go, and then verse 14, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Here we go, then shall the end come. What is the gospel? It's called the good news. God paid the price. We heard some kids earlier talking about one of the miracles was to... Jesus died on the cross. Absolutely is a miracle. Let's look at verse 36. Actually, verse 37. So we know the Lord is going to come back until the gospel's preached, right? We got all these people out there, and I just get so scared. People saying the rapture's going to come back, and then you know, the rapture's going to happen in the next year. It's going to happen in the next 2 years. Yeah, oh, it's got to come. God's got to come back in the next 5 years. Well, he could come tonight, right? I mean, he could come in the next 10 minutes. I don't know. But when people start saying those things, we see scripturally, Jesus doesn't know the time because the Father hasn't revealed it to him. So if Jesus doesn't know, how are you going to know if Jesus doesn't know, right? So those kind of people out there that start predicting, you know, the rapture's going to happen here and this and that and everything else too. And I heard some people, some lady, she's, I really like her and stuff, but I remember it was like 6-7 years ago. She was talking about like, well, if it's, the Lord is going to return in the next 7 years. If not, it will be the next 7 years, but it's going to be within the next couple of 7 years. I'm like, click. We can't depend on those because the Bible doesn't tell us this. Verse 37, it says this, but as of the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be, right? And Jesus kind of tiptoes through a little bit of the days of Noah. And one of the things I was sharing with some of my studies on, and probably should take some time to go through the days of Noah. I've been doing some studying on Noah's Ark, and it really is fascinating that just all of these things happening. It's very supernatural. Even when you study all of the lineage of Adam all the way up to Noah, every name is prophesying the next eon or what God is doing next. When you take a look at, and this is really incredible. This is amazing. When you go through Genesis and you find the meanings of, and you can do this online, when you find the meanings of Adam all the way up through a lot of his lineage, and that's all the way up through like Noah and so forth, there's a double meaning there. It's really supernatural. It gives the prophetic time frame of the flood. And then also, too, when you look at it in a whole context of the whole lineage, so when you have the interpretation of all of the lineage of Adam, it explains the whole salvation message of Jesus in the Old Testament. It's very supernatural, right? Now, if that doesn't knock your socks off, I don't know what does. When you're talking about people who lived 6,000 years ago, you know, and their names, they don't even know each other often, never met each other, some of these people, and their names are prophetically tells the story of the plan of salvation. And then also, too, when you look at a small section of between Adam until Noah, that section, when you read, interpret their names, it gives the plan of the flood. Now, that's got to be God. That's beyond supernatural, right? And you think about all these people that God, the people that were in direct line, because we have no idea how many kids Adam and Eve have. We just see a record of a few of them. They may have had hundreds of kids. I don't know. I mean, lived almost 1,000 years, right? So some of these, and it just says, when you read the Bible, it says, all it says is the children listed in there and then other children that they had, right? So the Bible doesn't even take time to list off all of Methuselah's children, all of Adam and Eve's children. We don't know how many children they had. We don't. We just see a few highlighted, you know, people like Cain and Abel and Seth and some others, and that's it. So, you know, there may be others in there, but the ones they do highlight are very prophetic. Their names are. the names even prophesy when the fallen angels show up. They prophesy Methuselah's name as actually interpreted, when I die, it will come. And what did he do? He died in the flood, right? So when he died, it will come. What does that mean? When it dies, right? Enoch's name means teacher and corrector. And Enoch was born, and part of his ministry, and his name was prophesied. He actually approached the fallen angels and corrected them, and they wouldn't listen to him. His name means teacher and corrector. So these people, their names are prophetic in what they did and the timeline. Now think about it, like Methuselah, he's the longest living person on earth. Do you think God was trying to expand his life to give people mercy? I mean, think about that. His life was the marker when the flood and the judgment was going to come. He was the longest living human on the earth. So I believe that God stretched his life out as long as he could so that people could repent. And that's God's grace on us. See, that's true love that God gives us in order to be able to come to him. And Jesus says, those days of Noah, we're going to see again, and we are seeing those again right now, right? Let's move on here, and it says, verse 37 again, but as in the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man. Oh, I got to pause here. We got to get into the fallen angels and the flood and the Noah's Ark, because it's very fascinating to understand the materials that Noah used. It's very interesting. There's just so much stuff I've read on that, that it's, God is supernatural. I'm telling you what. And you've heard things like, for example, you know, that technology, that they had more advanced technology than we do today. And that's kind of true in some aspects. When you study these things, anybody ever been to the Ark Encounter in Kentucky yet? That is like an absolute engineering marvel. God is just, it's amazing. God can give Noah these engineering understand. I mean, we got Dean's an engineer and everything else too, but you know, you've got somebody like Noah, didn't go through engineering school, didn't do this stuff, and was able to create this whole infrastructure. It's incredible. And it's God is what it is. So Jesus goes on, verse 30, and says, in the days that were before the flood, there were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage unto the day that Noah entered into the ark. Now, I'm going to pause here a moment. We're going to have the G version of this scripture. And you got to remember that monks wrote this. So they're very, you know, hymn-high about stuff, right? And I'm going to say very hymn-high. But when you look at this and you look at giving of marriage and having marriage, okay, we're seeing all this today. Okay, do I need to? We got little ears in here. I don't want to get too explicit, but the point is this, that they were getting loaded up, getting drunk, right? and they were doing very ungodly things with one another. I think we've got that figured out, right? And what are we seeing now? We're seeing an abuse factor like never before. We're seeing perversion like never before. But I believe God is coming in and doing something supernatural in our nation. Amen? But we're seeing growing pains right now. And God's going to be doing something. Because he said he was right here. He said that the gospel is going to go out and then he'll come back. He's coming back for a harvest. He's not coming back to throw everybody off. God is extending this thing long as he can. Because why? Because he's got mercy and he wants people to come to him and he wants to give them plenty. He wants to give them as much time as possible to repent and to come back to him. In verse 39, this is very important here, and we're seeing this as well. Verse 39, and knew not until the flood came. They didn't know the flood was coming until it came. You know how many people outside of these walls think that we're crazy because we believe Jesus is coming back, right? Do you know that really a lot of people didn't even think about the rapture in Christianity until like Israel became a nation again? Then people started waking up and saying, whoa, prophecy is starting to come to pass. Israel became a nation in one day. 1948, right? 2,500 years, they're like wandering all over. Well, it was about 2,000, but when Christ was there, and then shortly after Christ, everything split up again. So we've got about 2,000 years of the Jews just kind of wandering all over, and then boom, one day they're a nation again. The Bible prophesies that. And then people began to see, oh boy, the Bible is beginning. There are prophetic things coming to pass here. First of all, to say this, the world doesn't know that Jesus is coming back, and frankly, I don't care, unfortunately. Can you imagine the rapture happens? What kind of stories and everything is going to come out? You know what they're going to say? They're going to say, well, aliens took people, right? They're going to come up with all these crazy stories, right? I've heard too, they're trying to come out with the alien thing right now, right? Because they're trying to prep it so that when the rapture does come, they've got some scapegoat. You know, oh, they're all, you know, the aliens came down and took all these people. You know, it's a, you know, cuckoo, cuckoo. All these crazy things, but they need advice to be able to explain this away, right? And so, and then it says, so here we go, shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Just like in the, what is he saying? He's like, there's going to be a rapture. I'm coming back. Just like the flood came, there were all these signs, right? I mean, can you tell me, people didn't walk by Noah every day? He's what, 100 years? He's building this thing? And they're walking by laughing, you know. Guess what? The testimony was, the ark was the testimony. They had to look at every day they walked by that thing, right? What are you doing building a boat on dry land? There's never been rain ever, you know. I mean, can you think of that today if it had never rained and then you're like, yeah, I'm building a boat out here and it's going to rain, right? Right? Can you imagine here in Iowa? That's laughable. If we build a great big ark and we said, oh, well, there's going to be an ocean here coming in the next, you know, the next 2 months, God's going to bring an ocean right here in Iowa. You know, everybody laugh at, oh, can you imagine if I said that? They'd roast me on the 6 o'clock news and be like, oh, this wacko preacher, we're going to have an ocean in the middle of Iowa. Well, everybody laughed at me, wouldn't they? Well, everybody laughed at Noah, and it sounds ridiculous. And then, people in the world, in the natural, they think, oh, Jesus coming back, that's ridiculous. That's insane. That's never happened. We see biblical, the ark is a typology of rapture. We see rapture all the time. Elijah was raptured, right? Chariot of fire came down and picked him up. What else? Who else was raptured out of here? Well, we see that Enoch, He was with us and then he was no more. That's a rapture type. We see all of these typologies in the Bible. In the Old Testament especially, there are Jesus was raptured. What? He was standing there and then he ascended up to heaven, right? There are several examples in the Bible where people were raptured. Several examples. But the world, oh, you're crazy. That's crazy. Two women shall be at the mill. One will be taken, the other left. Again, we're going through all of these things where somebody will be here and then they'll be gone. And I think today, the reason we're talking about this tonight is, as we close, is this. We need, and we were just kind of talking about this as a prayer, just talking about getting a fire under ourselves and something where we need to have a passion for God again. Because guess what's going to drive us is the love of God. I started out with the love of God. But it's going to be the love of God that is going to draw us back to Him. Matthew 22, 37. When we know that God cares for us and He has an absolutely unwavering, passionate love for us, that He only wants the best for us, then we can trust Him and rest in Him that He's going to take care of us. He's going to provide our needs. And guess what? He's going to protect us and deliver us for no matter what it is we're believing for. Sometimes it's just life. You got to go through things, right? I mean, Matthew 22, verse 37, and actually 36, his master, this lawyer, asked him, "What's the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus said unto him, verse 37, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment." I want to stop there for a moment. You do not have value without Him. You do not have direction without Him. You do not have joy without Him. You don't have peace without Him. And you don't have understanding without Him. There is nothing in this world without Him. And if you don't have the revelation that God is love and He loves you and every, you will not approach Him. I'm going to talk about food. You okay with that? All right. So afterwards, you know, I've said this before. We're going to go eat somewhere, you know. And you know what? If I didn't know Joe and Sarah, and let's say they're at the restaurant, I'm not going to come plopping down and go, "Hey guys, you want to pay for my meal?" Right? Because they don't know me, right? If I didn't know them. If I'm just some Joe stranger that, you know, sorry, Joe. I didn't mean that as a pun. There's, you know, I'm just some stranger out here. They don't know me. They're not going to, but what happens is this, you know, my kids can come to me and say, "Dad," and I'll still say no. But I'm kidding. But I'm the no guy. Adrian's the yes person all the time. So I always come home like, "Oh, what did we buy today? What did we get today?" But I'm a tightwad. But don't tell anybody that. But no, I'm kidding. But no, I'm kind of true. You know, it's right. But. But what do? They come to me because they know me. And they know that I want to take care of them. And so that, why? Because love will draw you to someone, won't it? Love will always draw you to someone. People I don't know, I am not going to approach them to help me. I'm not going to approach them. But I will approach those people, right? You know? I don't call up Brian, "Hey, Brian, why don't you, you know, grab me some pickles on the way home and maybe some steaks and can you grab me some cereal and everything too?" He's like, "I love you, but do it yourself." I'm at work. What do you think I'm doing? Being who I do call, I'll call Adrienne up, say, "Hey, you know, I need these things, you know." And what? She just picks them up. Most of the time. So... We were laughing about this. Okay, she's not here, so we can poke fun of each other. But we're always laughing because I'll say something like, you know, I like salty stuff. You know, I'm not a real sugar guy, you know. And, you know, she's kind of the opposite. She likes those, but she really likes, you know, ice cream and stuff. And then, like, I said, hey, can you grab a couple jars of pickles and this and that? And she's like, two? And I'm like, you got 5 gallons of ice cream at the store. You couldn't squeeze one more jar of pickles for me, you know? It's all perspective, isn't it? You know? It's like, well, that's important stuff. Anyway, we have fun with each other, but I'm like, really, we're kind of out of balance here, all right? I'm just saying. So we kind of lightened up a little bit on the ice cream. We're down to like 4, so I'm kidding. But the love of God, it builds confidence to you to approach him. And what is the whole thing about faith? Faith is, we see in Hebrews, that it's what, let's turn there. Because you need it on your eyes before we leave. I'm very, very, it's always good to look at it. I can, you know, you can quote things, but it's always good. Go to Hebrews, and I'll tell you the chapter here in a minute. I want right where I want to go. All the T's together. Yay! That's how I always like it. Hebrews, and then you've got the right up all the T's. we're going to look at going to which one? Let's go to Hebrews 11, chapter 6 and 7. And there's Noah again. What do you know about that? That guy just keeps popping up everywhere. Hebrews 11, 6 says, but without faith, it is what? Impossible to please him. Here we go. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, here we go, and that he is a what? Rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, why would you have confidence in going to God that he, and it's, and this is faith, and this is very important. It's very important that you approach God and understand that he's real, number one, and number two, he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. What is going to empower you to do that? Having the revelation of his love. Because you will not obey, you will not do Hebrews 11, 6 without having a revelation of his love for you. And then verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world, and because an heir of righteousness, which is by faith. So having faith is going to have to be rooted in love. See, not having the revelation of love, the love of God, is also, you're going to get into pride, because all of your mistakes, people will say, well, you know what? I'm just not good enough. God won't forgive me. God won't do these things. God won't do these things. Here's the problem with that. Well, there's a lot of problems with that. The first one is, you're saying you're a more just judge than God himself. Because if he is forgiving you, and you're saying, no, my opinion is more important than yours, then there's a pride issue going on. I lied. One more scripture. I'm sorry. 1 John. This is such a love champ. I mean, this is such a great book, 1 John. First John 3:14. We know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. He that loves not his brother abides in death. So we know the litmus test for salvation is love. Because you love the brethren. It doesn't say you have to like them. It means you love them, right? I know, Pastor, we don't like you, but we have to love you. Do you know how more of a challenge it is lately to love people? You know, it's sad that, you know, sometimes in our nation and around the world, it's like you just can't say, oh, well, I disagree with you, but that's okay. Now it's like, oh, I disagree with you, and now you're like cut off, or, you know, people, I mean, it's almost like a hate thing, you know? It's not like we can just, you know, agree to disagree, but now it's turning into, you know, it's a real hate and real, there's some people, I mean, there's a bitterness going on, and never get to the point where, well, you disagree with me, that I'm going to, you know, hate you or things like that, because, you know, I believe there's hope for everybody, you know, even if we, you know, we don't agree. Why? Because I believe that people are more important than sometimes, you know, than trying to, you know, shut people out. Now, some people, they're just not going to, you know, you're just not going to be able to, there's some people out there, you're not going to be able to, you know, walk with and move forward with or do things because they're not going to be able to go down that path with you or open that relationship up. What it just means is that even if we don't have people that agree with us or what have you, just, again, we pray for them. We're still going to, you know, walk in love towards those people. And it's a test. Because I believe we're getting more, especially the believers, it's become more of a test moving forward as the days become. And we're getting closer to that time period when, you know, the closer that Christ is, the rapture is going to happen. Because we just read that here in Matthew chapter 24, but what it means is that we got to get our hearts ready and more prone for that. And how are we going to be able to do that? Get into the Word. Just focus on Jesus and His love. You know, one of the interesting things, I was listening to this lady, and she was talking about the Lord. She had some physical problems, and she died, went to heaven, and then she came back, but she's a little girl. And she's probably, I don't know, 6 or 7 or something like that. And she said that when she went and the Lord, she met Jesus, and then she said she went up to the throne room and she was sitting on the Father, God the Father's lap, and that when He was holding her, that their heartbeats were all in one. And I've heard so many people, Jesse Duplantis and other people too, talking about when your with the Lord, or there's heaven, that even though there can be other people around, you feel like you're the only person He's looking at. And there's just something supernatural, and even the times just when I spend time with the Lord, and that's the thing, just spending time with Him is it changes you. It changes you, because the gospel is the great exchange. What it means is He takes out those things from you, and He imparts Himself into you. Father, tonight I pray, God, my prayer for everyone here is, Lord, that tonight my prayer is that Your love would be imparted into every person tonight, Lord. My prayer, Lord, tonight is the love of God that is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Lord, that we have now passed from death and life, and that we are now, we love the brethren, Lord Jesus. And tonight, my prayer is that we become a deeper love with You, most importantly. And because of that, we'll be able to love one another, Lord. And even when we miss the mark, Lord, we still come back to You, Lord. There's forgiveness, Lord Jesus, and there's help. But Lord, we can receive those things from You because of the revelation of Your love. And tonight, if you don't know Jesus, I want to pray with you tonight. Or if you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I want to pray with you tonight. Because you don't want to leave here without having that relationship with Jesus. Because it's wonderful. It's wonderful. It turned my life around. And it was interesting because I heard this testimony today that this this gentleman was just meditating, and he was giving a testimony to someone I know, and he was talking about, he said, I was so tired, and I was so sleeping. I was praying. I wasn't sleeping. And the Lord says, you don't need sleep. You need me. And I thought that's so powerful that we need him, because Jesus did say, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Father. And he's our source. Thank you, Father. Lord, we come before you tonight. I thank you for these people. Lord Jesus, that we fall in love with you, that we're in love with you, Father. The Father, you're the one that's transforming us. You're the one that's delivering us. You're our source. You're our hope, Lord. Father, we give you glory and honor. And Holy Ghost, you are our helper, advocate, our guide, our intercessor tonight. You are the one that we're going to glorify and honor and praise. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, have a great week, everybody.